for your sacrifice, for your dedication, for your service to our country. Thank you. Celebrating Military Appreciation Month for all those who bravely serve our nation, protecting our freedoms and liberties. A special mahalo to those in support of Military Appreciation Month. Alert Alarm, Navy Mutual Aid Association, Honolulu Navy League, Mike McKenna's Windward Ford, Go Mokulele Airlines, and Solar City.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views of News Radio 830 KHVH, its staff, or management.
Now it's time for the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts, ask a question about glaucoma, find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Good morning, everyone. It's time once again for our regular weekly program about eyes and eye care. It's called the Hawaiian Eye Show, and it's sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about glasses and bifocals, about laser beams and eye surgery. We can talk about your cataracts or your contacts, itchy eyes, droopy lids, or whatever it is that interests you. If you'd like to join in today, give us a call. 521-8383 will get you here to the radio studio. We'd love to hear about your experiences and answer your questions. If you can't call in today, or maybe you're feeling shy, you can always email your questions to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, and we can answer those questions over the air. Look us up on the web while you're online at www.hawaiianeye.com, at hawaiianeye.com. You can find archived radio programs from the past few weeks, and they are usually posted about a week after the program airs, so feel free to check it out if you missed something on the program today or you think we might have talked about something that you want to hear again. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Hawaiian Eye Center. I'm on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter. You can tweet us your questions today, twitter.com/Dr. Tortora. That's D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A with no spaces. During the next hour, we'll discuss eye news from around the country and around the world. Sometimes we'll do the eye quiz to test your IQ. We'll have a lot of fun today, and sometimes there are even a few surprises. Now, remember, all opinions expressed on this program are those of myself and the other medical doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center. I'm an ophthalmologist, or IMD, which means I'm a medical doctor specializing in the eyes. Now, we're going to try to be very consumer-oriented today, make an effort to give you the best possible practical advice, but remember, I can't see through the telephone, so I may have to recommend an examination before I can tell you exactly what's going on in your eyes. So sit back, relax, and enjoy an hour all about eyes. Well, here we are on the beginning of the summer. It's almost Memorial Day, which is the official beginning of the summer, so wear those sunglasses when you're outdoors. We're going to start by going to a phone call here. We've got David standing by in Honolulu. Hi, David. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm calling actually to find out, it's been determined I have the early stage of glaucoma, and I'm calling to find out what the best treatment would be for that sort of thing, diet or lifestyle or so forth.
Okay, well, glaucoma is a condition where pressure inside the eye causes damage to the nerve in the eye. The only treatments we know that help once we establish for sure the diagnosis, sometimes some people will just kind of monitor them if they have a moderate to low level of suspicion. But if for sure your doctor's determined that you have glaucoma, the only treatment that actually has been scientifically proven to work is to lower the pressure inside the eye. And the only way that we know for sure works to do that is either medication through eye drops or a laser treatment. What the laser treatment does, a laser treatment is known as the SLT laser, for selective laser trabeculoplasty, long medical term, but SLT is what you need to remember. The SLT laser is designed to stimulate the eye's natural drain. The drain is what allows your eye to regulate fluid pressure inside the eye. And the SLT laser will often help to encourage that drain to work a little bit better. So it doesn't do any damage or harm to it. It just kind of stimulates it by using laser pulses of laser energy to basically not really heat up, but just kind of massage or stimulate the drain. So that's probably the most physiological way of treating it is through the laser, because it doesn't seem to do any harm or change the actual tissue, and it actually gets your body to work a little bit better to do what it needs to do. The effect is not permanent. It lasts for anywhere from a few months to a few years. Sometimes it doesn't work at all, but for most people it does. The other option is to use eye drops to bring the pressure down, and they need to be used on a long-term or ongoing basis. Now, in addition to those things, if you want to do lifestyle-related things, the only thing I know of that has sometimes been associated with lowering of the pressure in the eye is exercise. Certain forms of exercise will raise the pressure in the eye, like standing on your head or doing things that are lifting heavy weights, because that increases the pressure inside the eye, because you're exerting force on your intra-abdominal area, and that's increasing the pressure inside your body, including in the eyes. But doing cardiovascular exercise seems to have a mild moderating effect on eye pressure. Now, exercise alone has never been shown to be enough to treat glaucoma, but it's something that if you exercise 30 minutes a day on a consistent basis, which is what is generally recommended these days, then that may help a little bit.
Right. When I did see my doctor, he did recommend exercise and limiting sodium intake. And I started exercising immediately, and a few weeks later I went back for a second visit, and he did notice there was a noticeable difference.
Okay.
So obviously there is something to the exercise.
Good.
How about diet or vitamins, nutritional things I can do?
I don't know of anything that's actually been shown or proven to benefit glaucoma specifically as far as diet goes. You know, of course, for general health, a lower fat, higher fiber diet is better, and a diet that is rich in antioxidant nutrients like fresh fruits and green leafy vegetables certainly is beneficial to a lot of different elements of our body, but there's no evidence that that specifically benefits or helps glaucoma.
Okay, and one final quick question. They have vitamins apparently now for eye care. Are those effective?
Those eye vitamins, again, haven't been shown to really benefit glaucoma. There are some eye conditions that seem to specifically respond to vitamins like what we call dry macular degeneration. But the as far as glaucoma goes, none of those vitamins are really shown to be helpful. And there's no real theoretical reason why any of those particular nutrients would be beneficial in glaucoma that anyone's come up with. So I don't really recommend taking those specific supplements unless there's a specific reason to. But what I do suggest that people do, if they are concerned about not getting enough nutrients in their diet, is just to take a general multivitamin. And many of the multivitamins for people over age 50 nowadays have lutein in it, lutein has been suggested to perhaps be beneficial for certain elements of the eye, not specifically glaucoma, but the macula and the retina seem to be benefited, or at least seem to contain a lot of lutein. So the theory is that it helps to take some of that. So that's included in a lot of these multivitamins now. So that's usually just what I recommend for people who want to supplement what they're getting through their diet.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate all your insight.
All right, thanks for the call. Good luck with
that. All right, bye-bye.
Aloha. So glaucoma can be diagnosed at an early stage, which is what we usually like to do because it's a lot easier to deal with if we catch it early. If we don't catch it until it's already caused severe damage or change in the vision, then that is a significant problem because the vision loss from glaucoma is not reversible. There's nothing we can do to bring back lost vision from glaucoma. So if you have glaucoma and you've lost vision, usually off to the side, peripheral vision, that vision doesn't come back. If the vision loss becomes severe enough that you notice it, which means it affects your central vision, then you're probably already in deep trouble and really need attention to make sure that it doesn't get any worse, because glaucoma typically affects, in its most common forms anyway, affects the peripheral or side vision. So people who have glaucoma in its early stages don't really see any change in their vision. They don't feel anything different about their eyes. They can't feel the increased pressure generally in the most common forms of glaucoma. So that means that it's kind of a sneaky disease. It sneaks up on you and steals your eyesight because you don't realize it's an issue. So we like to talk about risk factors for glaucoma and people getting checked, because getting checked by your eye specialist is a good way to find out whether or not you have glaucoma. And risk factors involve being over age 50, having someone in your immediate family, a brother, sister, or parent who has glaucoma, and also certain races are predisposed to glaucoma. So Black and Hispanic races tend to have a higher rate of glaucoma at a younger age. So if you're Black or Hispanic, you should be getting an eye checkup if you're over 40 rather than over 50. Anyone, you know, at any age can benefit from an eye checkup. Glaucoma is one of the things that we routinely screen for when we do an eye examination, but probably if your eyes are otherwise healthy and you're under 50, every 4 or 5 years for an eye examination is not bad. More often if you need glasses, if you need to change the glass prescription periodically, every 2 years probably. If you're over 50 though, probably every 2 years is a good idea to get your eyes checked, and over age 60, once a year. If you have diabetes, get checked more frequently. That increases the risk for glaucoma and other eye problems. And if you have any predisposing factors or risk factors like a family history of glaucoma or having been told in the past about having a high pressure in the eye from your eye doctor or any of these things, this can increase your risk for glaucoma. Okay, we're going to take a short break. When we get back, we'll take some more questions from the audience and we'll talk about some eye news.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Life has never looked better with Hawaiian Eye Center.
The Hawaiian Eye Show phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 521-8383 with your questions for the doctor. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, call us toll-free at 888-565-8383. Now, back to your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
All right, here we are in the second segment of the Hawaiian Eye Show, and you're listening to Dr. Christopher Tortora on the radio Saturday morning talking about eyes. Last week, we started a little segment that I called Questions People Ask Me at Parties, and I thought that would be an interesting little thing to continue because I didn't get to quite all the questions that I get asked at parties. You know, as an eye specialist, and since I am a fairly public figure with a radio show and being on television from time to time, the people recognize me and they say, oh, you're that eye doctor, right? And I say, oh, yes, I am. And they say, oh, I have a question about eyes. Let me ask you a question. So sometimes I get asked these questions. So there are a number of them that are common. So here's a couple more. So the first question that we'll talk about today is, why do we cry? So what is it, our eyes, why do our eyes tear when we cry? Well, I don't think anyone really knows the answer to why our eyes tear when we cry, but I can give you a few insights into why or what happens when we tear, or what happens when we do cry. The crying reflex, or the tearing reflex, is basically that. It's a reflex. And it generally is designed to help wash out our eyes. So if you get something in your eye, what happens? Well, you get a lot of tearing. If you scratch your eye or abrade the surface of the eye, get an abrasion on the cornea, what happens? Well, you get a lot of tearing. And this tearing is an effort to wash out any foreign debris out of the eye, or to help to heal the surface of the eye if it's scratched or You have an abrasion on the surface of the eye. And the reflex tears are one form of tears that our eyes make. So our eyes make a couple of forms of tears. They make reflex tears, which is just basically that gush of water that comes and kind of rinses out your eyes. And that's what you also experience when you cry for an emotional reason. And I don't know why it's connected to the emotional side, but I know that when something goes in the eye, the reason is to try to wash out whatever's in the eye. And then the other tears that you have are what we call the basal tears, or the tears that are kind of there all the time. And they help to moisten and lubricate the surface of the eye and keep it healthy and comfortable. And they also provide better vision. If you have a good, natural, intact tear film, you see well. But if your tear film is irregular or not intact, it leads to blurring of the vision, often intermittent blurring of the vision, as that tear film tends to dry and become more robust. And so if you're over 30 or 40 and you're finding that intermittently your vision is blurring, particularly when you read or use the computer, and you find you have to blink or close your eyes in order to rest them and restore the vision, that's because the tear film is becoming irregular. Now, sometimes when the tear film is irregular or thin like that, people get what we call reflex tears, what we just talked about, which is the gush of tears to wash out the eyes or to lubricate the eyes in this case. So tearing or crying comes for a number of reasons, and the most physiological ones are something goes in your eye is dry, but the emotional connection, I don't know why that happens, and I don't know of any other animals or any other animal species that have that emotional response to tears. If I had to guess why people teared or why people cry, I would say because it's a visible expression of emotion. And so if you think that the traits that we develop that benefit people evolutionarily are the ones that are going to stick around in the human race, you think that people, the people around you in a social situation, because human beings are social creatures, that the people in the social situation should be aware when you are sad or when something is emotionally charged for you. And so the fact that tears run down your cheek when you're having that emotional reaction clues in the people around you to the fact that you're sad or emotional or glad or whatever it is that you're crying for. And so that's my guess for why people tear when they're sad or when they're emotional. Okay, so long answer to a short question, why do we cry? Okay, here's another question. Why do some people have green eyes and some people have blue eyes and some people have brown eyes? So the question is, why do our eyes have different colors? What is it about our eyes, or what makes the eyes have different colors, and why do different people have different colors? Well, different color eyes you can compare, you could think about the same way you think about different colored skin. People have different colored skin who come from different parts of the world. Different races tend to have different colored skin based on pretty much how much sun exposure they get. The people who live in northern climates who get very little sun exposure, like the Scandinavians, the Nordic peoples, have very light-colored pigment, light-colored skin, light hair, and light-colored eyes. And northern Europeans tend to have lighter-colored eyes. Southern Europeans tend to have darker-colored eyes. And as you get further south to Africa, South America, other places where the indigenous people have darker skin and darker eyes, it seems to be associated with a greater amount of sun in the environment. So there's something about sun that stimulates more pigment, because I think the pigment is protective, but not only in the skin, but the pigment is also protective in the eyes. And so the difference between light-colored eyes and dark-colored eyes is basically a matter of how much pigment there is in the eyes. And the fact that if you have more pigment in the eye, you have a darker colored eye, and less pigment in the eye, you have a lighter colored eye. And how might this work physiologically? Well, everyone has one layer of pigment in the iris, a layer of pigment called the basement membrane pigment. Is in everyone's eyes. And so when you look at someone with blue eyes or someone with brown eyes, they all have that basement membrane pigmentation. There are in the part of the iris in front of that, the iris being the colored part of the eye, there are different variable amounts of pigment in different people, and that's what gives people different eye colors, ranging from light blue to dark blue to green to hazel to light brown to dark brown. And so different amounts of pigment in the iris create different colors of the eyes. They also create slightly different characteristics of the eyes themselves. Darker colored pupils dilate more slowly or open more slowly in bright light, so they're probably designed for greater amounts of sun. And to absorb some of that sunlight and sunlight energy, the pigment helps to absorb some of that and keep it from damaging the inside of the eye. All right, well, we had a caller a second ago, but I don't know what happened. So I guess we'll go on talking about pigment in the eye or eye color. So another question that comes up is, why do babies' eyes change color as they get older? And generally, babies' eyes will change colors a little bit over time. Usually it goes from lighter color to a darker color over time as pigment is deposited in the tissue in the eye. And this is just a developmental issue. And as the eyes develop, pigment is one of the last things to go into the eyes and the structures in the eyes. And so if there's less pigment in the eye when the baby's born, and it's gradually, the amount of pigment is sort of building up a little bit, then that means that there's still a progression going on where the eyes are turning darker over time. Typically, we'll see baby's eyes getting a little bit darker or changing color a little bit until about the age of 5, at which point it's usually fairly stable. So we don't really expect children's eyes to change too much in color after the age of 5. Sometimes the highlights and the different, you know, the way the light reflects off the eyes and so forth change. I know my son's eyes seem to have gotten lighter a little bit over time, and I think that's just the way the highlights and the light hits the eye and so forth. So I don't know what that is, but generally eyes tend to get a little darker as time goes on. Well, we do have phone callers now, so let's go to the phones. We've got Alan standing by in Honolulu. Hi, Alan. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Thank you for taking my call. I listen to your radio show every Saturday morning and enjoy it very, very much.
Oh, good.
And thank you for your service. And, you know, the reason for my call, I have a question. My first question is, what or which eye is on the right side of your face?
Which eye is on the right side of your face?
Yes.
Your right eye?
Yes, my right eye, that's correct. You know, I went to, I had an injury to my right eye. And I wasn't able to see out of my right eye, right? Because it's on the right side of my face. And your right eye is on the right side of your face. So therefore, it's the right eye. And I went to 3 different eye doctors because I had some problems with my right eye because I had the right side of my face injured. So all of the vision problem was towards the right side of my vision. And so I went to three different eye doctors. I went to an eye doctor called Eyesight Hawaii, and I went to.
You don't have to name the specific. You don't have to name the specific doctors. You can just, you know, summarize the problem so that I can try to help you with an answer. Okay.
Oh, okay. And then I went to the last doctor I went to was Dr. Dennis Mahera, and when I went there, I told them that I had problems with my right eye, and for some odd reason, they had spent the entire office visit looking at my left eye instead. And at the end of the office visit, they came to a conclusion that they found nothing wrong with my eye, and therefore they put on my medical report. Everything was okay. There's nothing wrong with your eye, and there's no reason to go any further. And unusually, I don't understand. They were kind of had this strange hang up on glaucoma, and all three doctors have this hang up about glaucoma. I don't understand why glaucoma is so popular. And so they spent the whole office visit with my left eye, thinking that I had glaucoma in the left eye. And then, in result, they found nothing wrong with my left eye.
Alan, can I introduce you? Can I interrupt you for a minute?
Because
Yeah, Alan, let me interrupt you for a minute because I have to take a break for the news in just about 30 seconds. So basically, I think the reason is obviously there's something about your left eye when they examined it that was unusual, that could be a sign of something serious, but fortunately in your eye turned out not to be. So that's good. Now, what kind of trouble are you having with your right eye?
Well, the trouble I had with my right eye was that I was seeing spots, rubbish in my eye, you know, black blotches, black lines, and very strange flashes of light every minute or so. I get this flash coming from the right side of my vision.
Are you still seeing those things, or has that gotten better?
And it's gotten better, unfortunately. And unfortunately, by the time I saw the third doctor, it has gotten way, way better. The black spots and black blotches and the flashes of light pretty much were gone.
Okay, and tell me how old you are, Alan?
I'm 49 years old.
And you had an injury in that right side of your face? You were hit by something, or what happened?
I had an injury to the right side of my eye.
Uh-huh.
And so I was experiencing this problem. So apparently the three eye doctors I went to gave me the impression that these problems never existed, and I never saw any of these flashes or anything like that.
I really have to go because I have to take a break for the news here. They need me to do that in a minute.
I'll hang up and then I'll let you respond with your thoughts and your ideas. Thank you very much, Dr. Christopher.
Okay, I'll talk about it after we come back from the break. Thanks for your call.
Great. Thank you. Okay, bye bye.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Their experienced surgeons have extensive cataract and general eye care experience. And they proudly welcome their newest eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen Ree. Dr. Ree brings a wealth of experience to the Hawaiian Eye Center team. To schedule an appointment with a member of the eye care team, call Hawaiian Eye Center today at 733-2020 or visit the website at hawaiianeye.com.
The news authority in Honolulu is News Radio, 830 KHVH.
It's 71 degrees, partly cloudy in Honolulu. I'm Julia Norton-Dennis. Here's what's happening. Mitt Romney has won applause and cheers from graduates at Liberty University for calling marriage an institution meant for one man and one woman. But the Republican presidential candidate mostly steered clear of hot-button issues in his commencement speech at the Christian College in Virginia. He talked about the importance of values such as personal responsibility, hard work, serving others, and the preeminence of the family. The body of a U.S. soldier who died in Afghanistan during a video chat with his wife has arrived in Western New York. More than 100 mourners gathered at a Rochester airport today to pay tribute to Captain Bruce Kevin Clark, whose funeral will be held Tuesday. The Army nurse was chatting with his wife via Skype last month when he collapsed. Army officials say the investigation into the death continues. Hawaii County Police are looking for a Puna man wanted in connection with a stabbing yesterday. It began as a domestic argument at a convenience store at Kahakai Boulevard. The suspect is described as 27, 5 feet 11 inches tall, weighing 190 pounds, with blue eyes and a shaved head and partial goatee. He also had several tattoos. The second of two outstanding sex offenders wanted on Kauai has been captured on Oahu. The U.S. Marshals Service Adam Walsh Task Force located and arrested Brian Lopez at 9:45 a.m. yesterday in Waianae. Lopez was the last of 24 non-compliant sex offenders previously wanted by police. He awaits extradition back to Kauai. The winner of the I Love the Skin I'm In t-shirt design contest created by the University of Hawaii Cancer Center, XL and the Skin Cancer Coalition of Hawaii will be announced today at an event from 1 to 5 at Queen Kapi'olani Park Bandstand. Mostly sunny, high in the mid-80s tonight, mostly clear, low near 71, tomorrow sunny. Currently in Honolulu, 71.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataracts blur vision, a short, painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want back youthful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit hawaiianeye.com.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the Neighbor Islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Here we are back again in the second half of the Hawaiian Eye Show. It's Dr. Christopher Tortora. We have open phone lines if you want to give us a call, 521-8383 here at the radio station. You can also check out our website at hawaiianeye.com and look at old radio programs or past radio programs, not really old. They're last week's and the weeks before and the whole year's worth are over there. So you can check them out. You can subscribe to our podcast, get a new episode every week, and listen to the iShow even if you're not in the car on a Saturday morning or listening to the radio on a Saturday night. The last caller that we had was asking about how come he went into the office and the doctors, he was concerned about a problem in his right eye, and the doctors were all focusing on what was going on in his left eye. And so basically my answer to you, Alan, about that is, number one, I don't think they were discounting that you had those symptoms in the right eye, because those symptoms that you have are common after an injury, and they do need to be checked out. And I'm sure that all three of those doctors did check out your right eye, but I think they didn't find anything to be concerned about. And since the symptoms were getting better, they didn't think it was an issue. But when we examine one eye, we have to examine both eyes, because there's always the possibility that there's something going on that's asymmetrical. One eye is different than the other, and that may clue us in to certain types of damage to the eye or to the vision. And glaucoma, for example, is a blinding disease that doesn't have any symptoms. And so if they found changes in your eyes that might be a sign of glaucoma, that's something that they better darn well take care of, because if they don't and you lose your vision as a result, everyone's going to be very sorry. So if they found changes in your left eye that were suggestive of glaucoma and needed to evaluate them further, then it's good that they did. And so it sounds like you had good care. It sounds like you had weak explanations. And maybe you didn't ask the right questions either, but it sounds like the right eye problems may have been related to the injury, getting better now, so nothing really to worry about, but really also nothing to do about that type of problem. Spots in the vision, flashing lights, can be a sign of something changing in the eye. So people who see what we call flashes and floaters need to get their eyes checked right away. But if it's normal, there's really nothing to do about those flashes and floaters, and people just have to kind of live with them. So you need to get it checked out to make sure that it's not a more serious problem. But if it's just flashes and floaters without more serious issues, then you may need to just live with them until they get better by themselves. So that sounds like you got good advice overall from the doctors, but it sounds like maybe they didn't communicate it to you as effectively as they could have. So I'm glad you called. I hope I was able to clear it up a little bit for you. Let's go now back to the phones. We've got Jack standing by in St. Louis Heights. Hi, Jack. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Morning.
My mother had such great treatment out at your place. I wonder about whether I should trek out to Wahiawa. I've turned 70, and I'm curious what sorts of tests and what do you look for in total for someone that hits that age?
Well, pretty much what we do is a complete examination of the eyes, make sure that everything is healthy. If we see anything that we're concerned about, then we may do some additional testing to look into that. But what we're pretty much looking for in someone at your age is we're looking for cataract, which is a clouding of the lens of the eye, which can blur the vision over time. So most people who have cataract notice a weakening or a blurring of the vision over time. We're looking for glaucoma, which I've been talking about off and on in the program today, which is a painless, no-symptom disease that can cause loss of vision over time. So it needs to be diagnosed by an eye specialist, and it's more common over age 50, and it gets more common the older you get. So at your age, we'd definitely be looking for and screening for glaucoma. And then we look at the retina and the macula in particular, which as you get older can be affected by a condition called macular degeneration. And those are the three main things that we're looking for in someone who's otherwise normal and healthy. In someone who has diabetes, we're looking for diabetic-specific changes inside the eyes. For people who have other types of complaints or problems, or their vision is not as good as they'd like it to be, there are other types of things that we can find sometimes that may affect the eyes or the vision. But if you're otherwise healthy and you just want to get a screening exam, those would be the primary things we'd be focusing on looking at.
Well, the biggest thing I wonder about, I'm still working. My work includes a lot of reading and close work and computer work. And sometimes when I get through with that, I'm kind of blurry. I'm not sure if that's just strain. I don't know if I'm doing damage when I do a lot of close work.
No, close work by itself is not going to damage your eyes, but you may find that because our eyes no longer focus as well up close, that you're more comfortable if you're wearing the right reading glasses. So part of the eye exam is also to find out if glasses will help you. And basically, glasses are not to treat any condition, any medical condition in the eye, but they are something that helps to help you function a little bit better. And if you're having difficulty with the near vision and you feel like you're straining, it probably means that you either need reading glasses, or if you're wearing reading glasses, you need different reading glasses, as long as everything else in the eye is healthy.
Hey, thank you.
Okay, well, hope you manage to make the trek up there, and we hope we get to see you sometime in the next few weeks.
Thank you.
Aloha. So the eye examination as you get older is a little bit different than the eye examination for someone who's younger, but the primary things we look for if you're not having any particular problems with the eyes or any vision issues is we're looking for cataracts, glaucoma, and macular problems like macular degeneration. Cataracts tend to blur the vision, so many people who have cataracts are complaining that their vision is not as good as it should be or as it used to be. And if your vision is not as good as it used to be and you have a cataract, then that cataract ought to be treated. Cataracts are treated through a short surgical procedure to remove the cloudy lens, replace it with a clear lens implant that focuses the light permanently inside your eye. Once that implant's there, then it just stays there and you don't know it's there. That's a common question that we get about cataract surgery. Say, well, you're putting a lens implant in my eye. Do I have to change it? Is it like a contact lens? Do I need to clean it? Do I need to take care of it in any way? And the answer is that lens is an implant. It's permanently in your eye, just like if you had hip surgery and you had a new hip or hip replacement, that hip implant, that hip replacement is permanently inside your eye, and it's permanently correcting your ability to walk and with less pain. And so the eye implant, the lens implant inside the eye, is allowing you to see better with less difficulty focusing. And so although many people with lens implants still need glasses for the clearest vision, many times if they didn't have that implant in the eye, the vision would be much, much worse, and they'd need thick, thick glasses or a contact lens in order to bring the vision into focus. And so having that lens implant at the time of the cataract surgery really allows you to have much more normal vision afterwards. Even if you still need glasses for the clearest vision and for reading vision, it does make it much better than it would be without any lens in the eye at all. The focus would be way off, and the difference between the two eyes would be harsh. As a matter of fact, I just recently had a patient who was had cataracts removed at a young age, and he reached his 40s and was having difficulty with one eye that didn't have a lens in there, and so we went and actually put a lens implant in the eye to make the balance the two eyes and make it more comfortable. Other advantages of lens implants is we can actually tailor them to allow different focuses. Some people want to have their distance and near vision focus, so there now are lens implants that have the technology to do that. They're not covered by insurance, so there is a little additional cost to do that, just as if you had LASIK or something like that to correct your vision. It would cost out of pocket because it's not covered by insurance, but we can do some of that at the time of cataract surgery now as well. Well, we have callers now, so let's go to the phones. Let's see, we have Sean standing by, and also in St. Louis Heights. Hi, Sean. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I have kind of like what Jack was saying, something about having, like, he was seeing flashes and whatnot. But with me, it's not flashes. It's kind of like the stripes on a zebra, and it happens periodically, and it happens just in the peripheral vision, and sometimes they go down, and sometimes they go up. Okay, and it lasts for like a minute or two, and then it goes away.
Okay, and does that happen every day?
It's periodic. It could be once a month. It could be once every couple of days.
Okay, and how old are you?
I'm going to be 42 next month.
And do you remember when that first, when you first started experiencing those symptoms?
About a year and a half ago.
Okay. Well, I can't tell you for sure without a complete eye examination, you know, that there's nothing else going on. But what you're describing sounds like what we call an ocular migraine. An ocular migraine is a series of symptoms that can be flashes, can be zigzag lines, can be spots missing from your vision. It typically lasts anywhere from a few minutes to about 15 to 20 minutes and then goes away again. And then when it's gone, it's completely back to normal. And then it doesn't show up again for days, weeks, or months later. It's a form of migraine that's not always associated with a headache, although some people do get headaches following the vision changes. Do you get any headaches or migraine headaches at all?
No.
Okay, so typically, you know, it can affect just the eyes, and that's not uncommon. So it may be that you're having an ocular migraine. Now, flashes that people see intermittently throughout the day on and off sometimes mean changes in the retina inside the eye. So if you haven't had it checked out, it may be worth going in to see an eye specialist to make sure that your retina is healthy. But it sounds more like a form of migraine, ocular migraine, what you're experiencing.
Okay, so basically it's a headache in the eye.
Yeah, it's not a headache, but it's just a change. Yeah, change. It's a vascular change, a change in circulation to the brain that gives symptoms in the eyes.
What would cause that?
Well, migraines, we don't know who gets them and who doesn't, although there tends to be a hereditary component. But migraines tend to be caused by changes in the blood flow to certain parts of the brain. Often increased or decreased blood flow to certain parts of the brain cause these symptoms to occur, whether it's a headache or whether it's vision changes. There's a typical pattern that we see in blood flow to certain parts of the brain if we take pictures that show blood flow to the brain. And so no one knows for sure why that happens, but it's typically benign, meaning that it's not anything serious or anything dangerous. But if the symptoms change or become more pronounced, then it's worth getting checked out because that can be a sign of something else going on.
Okay. Would a basic optometrist be able to check into that, or would it have to be an eye specialist?
You can see an optometrist or an ophthalmologist for the retina to make sure that that's healthy. And then if the migraine is an issue, then you'd probably work with a general doctor because it's a problem in the brain, not in the eye. So if it turns out to be a migraine and the migraines are changing or exhibiting some symptoms that are of concern, then that would generally be through a general doctor or a neurologist. But I don't think that sounds like something that you need to worry about. I think just the basic eye examination is what you need to do right now just to make sure that the retina is healthy.
Okay. I appreciate it very much.
All right.
I do listen to you every weekend. That's how I learn so much.
Okay. Good luck with that.
You have a good day.
Aloha. All right. We're going to take a short break, and when we get back, we'll take some more calls, and maybe we'll even get to the eye news.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activities.
It doesn't hurt. It just takes, 15, 20 minutes the most, and you're out.
That's it.
We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, hawaiianeye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-888. 866-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.
All right, welcome back, everyone. And here we are in the last segment of the Hawaiian Eye Show. If you do have something that you'd like to talk to us about, if you'd like to give us a call, 521-8383, I'll get you here to the studio. We've had a few interesting calls and questions this morning, so hopefully it's been educational for everyone. I just want to get back for a minute to the caller who was asking about examining the left eye when the question was about the right eye. And he seemed quite concerned that the doctors were focusing on the left eye rather than the right eye where he was having the symptoms. And I think that's kind of an interesting story because it actually represents something that we encounter not uncommonly in medicine. And that is that when doctors are examining you, they may have a different set of priorities, let's say, than you may have. So you may come in saying, well, let's just talk about the eyes because that's what we're talking about today. But if this applies to all parts of the body. But let's say you come in and you say, gee, you know, my eyes are tearing. And the doctor looks and realizes very quickly that the tearing is not anything dangerous and starts talking to you about three or four other types of things that he comes across in his eye examination or she comes across in their eye examination. But you say, but you're not listening because you're thinking, I want to know why my eyes are tearing. So I think this is a problem with communication, and it's a problem that many doctors, including myself, encounter from time to time because we look at the eyes in this case or in elsewhere in the body, depending on what we're looking at, and we're not necessarily cued into your symptoms, although we're paying attention to what your symptoms are. We're also concerned about anything else that we might find incidentally as we examine your eyes. And so when I look at your eyes and you're complaining about something that when I look at it, I realize is a minor thing, but I see something that may be a major thing. So if you're having tearing and I assess pretty quickly that that tearing is nothing to worry about, but I see that you also have possibly have glaucoma, which could cause blindness over the next several years if not treated, then I want to focus my attention on the glaucoma because that, to me, saving your vision, keeping you from going blind, is what's important. But your problem is that you're having tearing and you're going, well, why is he talking to me about glaucoma? Because my eyes are teary or I have these flashes of light in my eyes and so forth. And so, so unfortunately, the caller had that experience with three different doctors that he went to. And each one didn't talk to him about what his concern was. They talked to him about what their concern was. And so he ended up being very puzzled and concerned and unhappy with his treatment because he felt like they weren't addressing his problems. And I think this is a very real concern. I think he's justified in being unhappy and upset because they did not communicate effectively to him the fact that his symptoms were not a sign of anything dangerous when they checked it out, but that there were issues with his other eye that could be serious and that they ought to be checked out. And so that's the problem is communication. It's not that the treatment was poor. He had three different doctors that did the same thing. They were all doing standard of care treatment. They were all doing good treatment, but they didn't communicate effectively to him. So that's one of the things that we try to do. And that's one of the reasons I'm here on the radio every week, is to communicate with people, to let them know, to give them an idea of what types of things to look for, what types of things are dangerous, what types of things are important, when should you come in to see the eye specialist, what types of problems are likely to cause trouble for you down the road, how can we answer your questions about things that other people, other doctors perhaps, haven't fully answered your questions about. So I hope we're able to shed some light on that issue for the caller. So let's talk while we're here and have a few more minutes. Let's talk about some of the things that have come up in the news over the past week or two. Now, here's a really interesting one. We have an article about a retinal microchip that may be able to restore vision in some people who have serious retinal problems like retinitis pigmentosa. It says here, a subretinal microchip implant has entered new clinical trials in the United Kingdom and in Hong Kong, and early results are encouraging, according to researchers from two studies. An earlier clinical trial conducted in Germany was reported back in 2010. The first three patients in the first study were implanted on February 13th at the University of Hong Kong Eye Institute. And the first two of 12 patients in the United Kingdom were implanted in mid-April of this year. So these people say that the technology is important because now, until now, vision loss from conditions like retinitis pigmentosa, which is a genetic disorder that frequently leads to blindness, has been considered permanent. There are more than 200,000 people in the U.S. and Europe who have retinitis pigmentosa. It's a progressive genetic disorder that causes an imbalance of proteins produced by the photoreceptor cells, and this limits the retina's ability to produce eyesight, and the cells die gradually, eventually leading to blindness. Antioxidants such as vitamin A may help with this, but researchers believe that the microchip technology may work because inner retinal nerve cells continue to function even after vision has been lost. So if you can replace the function of those photoreceptors electronically, then that may be helpful. For this reason, two different approaches have been explored. The first involves implantation of electrode arrays. The arrays interface with retinal ganglion cells. And the clinical trials in the UK and Hong Kong, though, involve the second technology, the implantation of a 3x3 millimeter 1500 electrode microchip below the retina in the area responsible for the sharpest central vision in the macula. And so this type of microchip senses light and translates it point by point into small currents proportional to the light. And then each electrode contains electrode amplifier electrode set within the single pixel that simulates nearby nerves closely resembling normal vision signals. So it's very exciting because the technology has improved where they can get a finer resolution in people. Okay, so it's built around technology, and it doesn't rely on an external camera, which some of the technologies do. It actually, light hitting the photoreceptor technology inside the eye translates into signal. So the operation to do it, though, takes about 9 hours, and it requires all kinds of help from maxillofacial surgeons, ear, nose, and throat surgeons, and eye surgeons. But so far, the patient seems to be doing okay and is reading large letters and has better vision than before. So it does look like it shows a lot of promise so far. So this is an interesting technology, implanting a light-sensitive series of electrodes in the eye to try to replace the function of the poorly functioning retinal photoreceptor cells. And so doing this is really quite interesting, and it'll be interesting to see how this these patients do over time with these implants, and whether they are able to get reasonable vision over time. Because a lot of, you know, when we see things, it's our brain learning to use the eyes, learning to use, in this case, new technology, and so it may take a while to adapt and get the best vision. Well, I've been here now for an hour talking about eyes and eye care, and I've certainly had a lot of fun, and I hope you have too. I'd like to thank MJ for helping out here in the studio, and say thanks to all you listeners for making this show work through your calls and through your email. If you enjoyed our program today, be sure to tell your friends about us, and if you learned something, you can always listen again next week. If you have a question, email it to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, and we can answer those questions over the air in future weeks. Don't forget to check out our website, www.hawaiianeye.com. You can go to the iShow link there and download previous versions, issues of the iShow, or listen to our podcast or subscribe to our podcasts. The Hawaiian Eye Show is sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. I'm Dr. Christopher Tortora, and thanks so much for listening, and aloha.
You've been listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortora. If you have an eye problem, want to get a second opinion, or aren't seeing as well as you used to, make an appointment with Dr. Tortora or one of the doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center in Central Oahu or Hilo by calling C-2020. That's 733-2020. Until next week, here's looking at you.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Coast to Coast AM, weeknights at 7 with George Norrie.
The whole universe is accelerating and speeding up.
On KHVH Honolulu,
Hawaii's home for Fox News.